Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. How are y'all doing this morning? Okay.
We're alive.
We're alive. Praise God for that. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer now before we come to his word. God, we thank you that you are here and that you are a good father. We pray that you would help us to grow in our faith and our trust in you through what we see in your word this morning. I pray that you would comfort and encourage all of us. Pray a special blessing on any here who are single this morning as we talk about singleness, that you would really meet all of us where we are this morning. Help us to take next steps with you. Help us to be filled with your love and out of that be able to love all of our neighbors well. And so we ask that you would do these kind of things and more for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're getting started, a quick reminder that if you're a leader here at the church, to get your picture taken right outside here right after this service. Now, as we begin our message, we're, like I said, talking about singleness, and there are challenges in our culture to having a good perspective on singleness. You know, think of all the shows and movies that we've seen that say, you know, life is all about finding your one true love, or that you can only really be happy and live your happily ever after once you're married. And then, unfortunately, sometimes some of us married folks in the church may add to the challenges here. As married folks may generally mean well, but sometimes we miss the mark. Christian author John Acuff describes this with his Surviving Church as a Single scorecard. It's a awards points the scorecard to single people who've experienced some unfortunate things in the church. So you can see if you resonate with any of these. Like things like having a friend say that creating an online dating profile means that you're probably not trusting God enough to find your soulmate. Or someone pays you the most backhanded compliment our world has, which is, you know, I just don't understand how someone as great as you isn't married yet. Or perhaps people are constantly volunteering you for things, telling you, well, you're single, you've got plenty of free time. Or maybe someone has told you tritely, you know, if you just stop looking for love, that's when you'll find it. Or maybe upon hearing that you went on just two dates, your married friends at church are already telling you, oh, we're praying for you that this is the one. Or perhaps your best friend of 15 years gets married, and then they suddenly act like a magical gap has opened between the two of you, and as if until you get married too, it's just not possible for you guys to be close again, telling you something like, you know, we just don't understand each other anymore. Or perhaps your married friends tiptoe around you during February, around Valentine's Day, thinking that you're maybe too delicate to handle this completely made-up holiday. Or maybe like this for me when I was single, this final one might hit close to home. You are too delicate to handle Valentine's Day, and you have been known to describe it with a rich tapestry of words that no Christian should even know about, let alone say out loud. So, single friends, I apologize on behalf of myself and any other married people who may have helped in these kind of ways along the way. You know, it's already challenging enough in our culture to have a good perspective on being single. Or at least I was struggling with it when I was single. And we all, whether single or married this morning, need to hear what God's word has to say about singleness as God does, seeing it the way he does. And it's if you're just checking out this church thing this morning, we're glad you're here. And you should know that we're going in the deep end of the pool this morning with this message. It's actually going to be challenging for all of us, whatever your marital status. But what we're going to see this morning really is a much better perspective about things that really matter. And it's a perspective that I hope, by God's grace, encourages those who are single and also helps those who are married to learn from and love better our single brothers and sisters. And it's a perspective found in God's word in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So if you've got a Bible or Bible app, you can open now to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 of that New Testament book. And if not, no worries, we'll have the verses on the screen. And if you're new to reading the Bible, the big numbers are chapter numbers, and the little numbers are verse numbers. Now, 1 Corinthians is a letter written by Paul, a single man and significant leader in the early church. And Paul wrote 1 Corinthians about 20 years after Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead, writing to address some struggles that an ancient church had, as well as to answer some of their questions about various topics, including singleness and marriage. And so in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul shares that he wishes that everyone shares his opportunities as a single person. So let's look, starting in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 7. Here Paul says, "I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried, as I do." In verse 7, here Paul's wish is that every follower of Jesus was to able to enjoy being single as he does. And if you're not familiar with Paul, he's not talking about a playing the field, keep your options open, sleep with whoever you want kind of single. Paul is actually talking about a life of celibacy, of not sleeping with anyone while single. And so we see right away what Paul is saying is challenging and is counter to our culture. Paul wishes that everyone could share his enjoyment of being single in Jesus, taking advantage of its unique opportunities while living a faithful, sexually pure life. But in the second half of verse 7, Paul acknowledges that every Jesus follower has their own gift from God, and some, like Paul, are gifted to be single, and others are gifted to be married. And so if you deeply desire to be married and perhaps also to have children as well, that's a fine, good desire. But then in verse 8, Paul goes on to say that it is good for those who are not married to stay single and celibate. And so Paul here in these verses, he has a different perspective than what we're used to. It requires eyes of faith to see, especially if someone's longing to be married, as I once was. But so why does Paul here encourage those who are single to be in no rush to change their marital status? Well, we'll jump down now to verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 7, where Paul shares about some of the opportunities that being single provides. Verse 25. "Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this." In these verses, Paul makes it clear that Christians are free to stay single or seek marriage. As verse 28 says, if you marry, you have not sinned. However, Paul also notes in verse 28 that married Christians face challenges that single followers of Jesus do not. And he begins to further explain this in verse 29. So look there with me. "What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not, those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as if they were not, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep, those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away." Paul reminds us here that the time is short, that the key event of all of history, Jesus coming in the flesh and dying for our sins and rising from the dead, has already taken place. And he could return to bring the fullness of his kingdom any time. And so we must not respond today as if nothing has happened. You know, we have to think in terms of that temporary things can no longer be our primary focus. As Paul describes in verses 29 through 31, we are no longer to be absorbed in things that will not ultimately last. You know, things like marriage and grieving in this world and rejoicing and parties in this world and purchasing and possessing the goods of this world, all of which are passing away. Now, that doesn't mean that we are to completely stop engaging in these kinds of things, but the time is short and the world in its present form is passing away. And so our main priority is to be investing in the kingdom outlasting this world. Investing in things like sharing the good news about Jesus and serving the vulnerable and the hurting in his name and making disciples of Jesus who help others to take next steps with Jesus and giving generously to his kingdom and in everything we do, living with Christ-like virtue. Now, Paul knew that everything that comes with a marriage can distract us from serving Jesus' kingdom first. It's so easy for the married, myself very much included, to get so focused on one's spouse and one's kids and the life you're trying to build together. And then later on to get so focused on grandkids and family legacy and so on that they can help us or that they can lead to us a losing sight of what really matters. That these concerns, these earthly concerns, they're important, but they're to take a back seat to the kingdom outlasting this world. And that's why Paul says here in verse 29 that there's a sense in which those who are married should live as if they are not. In other words, making sure our focus is not so engrossed on the temporary that we fail to invest in Christ's lasting kingdom. And this is why Paul encourages those who are single to consider remaining as he is, because they are free from the many distractions that come with a marriage, having more opportunity and flexibility to serve the kingdom that will outlast this world. And service like Rochelle Meyer from our church family did as a single woman. Rochelle helping vulnerable children and serving in dangerous places, sharing the good news of Jesus in oppressive places where they're desperate for the good news that Jesus provides. Rochelle taking advantage of her opportunity and flexibility as a single woman to be all in for Jesus, even as she risked her life in service to his kingdom. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, Jesus compares his kingdom to like treasure hidden in a field that's so valuable that it's worth selling everything one owns to go and buy the field that has that treasure. Meaning that it's a kingdom that is so valuable that it is worthy of any sacrifice. Selling everything one owns, or serving in a dangerous place, or choosing not to be married. Now, all this wasn't my perspective back when I was single, and I still today need to grow into more of this perspective, so you can pray for me. Thankfully, God is gracious, and he will meet you wherever you're at this morning, and as you let him, he will help you to grow into sharing his perspective over time about what really matters most. This was Paul's perspective, this kingdom perspective as a single man. And valuing the kingdom over marriage is also the perspective of Jesus, the most wise and loving man of all time. And so there must be something important here in this perspective. And there are important opportunities not only to invest in this glorious coming kingdom, but also more opportunities to invest in the community outliving this world. Now, marriage is a good gift from God, and it includes some blessings that singleness does not. But verse 29 lists marriage among the things that are passing away. And as Jesus teaches in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, in his kingdom we will neither marry each other nor be given in marriage. So we'll all be single. In glory, we will all be single brothers and sisters together. My relationship with my wife Stephanie will look different there than it does here and now. And so that means you do not need to be married to reflect God's design. Godly singles are actually the ones reflecting what followers of Jesus are going to be like as we together in glory are single brothers and sisters in God's family. And single people today also have more opportunities to invest in this community outliving the world. Opportunities today in God's family to bear one another's burdens, to help one another to grow in Jesus, to celebrate with one another, just really knowing each other deeply in love. As a married man, there are more limitations on how I can serve and get to know my sisters in Christ. And even my ability to serve and get to know my brothers in Jesus is also more limited. Not only do I have less time because of home life commitments, but I must also consider how it impacts my family before sharing deep things about our family. While single followers of Jesus, they have more freedom to express the inclusive nature of God's love in all of their relationships, and also more freedom to express intimacy with the only community that's going to outlive this world. And so let's together invest in that community, including our church family, both single and married, to take advantage of whatever opportunities each of us have to build into this community that is going to outlast this world, and to be enriched in all this by all of our brothers and sisters here, and especially our single brothers and sisters who show us what our relationships in eternity are going to be like. Now, even with all these shared relational blessings, you'll notice Paul does not say in these verses that being single is easy, or that it doesn't come with unique challenges, or that it doesn't come with, for some at least, deep, unmet longings. What Paul is saying is that being single also comes with opportunities to invest in the kingdom outlasting this world, and in the community that's going to outlive this world, and also in devotion that is pleasing to Lord Jesus, which we see starting in verse 32. Look there with me. Here Paul says, "I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband." In verse 32 here, Paul observes that it's easier for a single person to focus on pleasing Jesus with undivided devotion, while a married person, as verses 33 and 34 say, also thinks about pleasing their spouse, and then also kids if they come into the picture, and so their interests are more easily divided. Now, Paul is not saying that he's against marriage, and he's not against husbands and wives fulfilling their marital responsibilities. He's just stating the fact that it's harder for those who are married to have an undivided devotion to Jesus because of the commitments that come with a marriage. In contrast, being single makes it easier to place first things first by pleasing Jesus with undivided devotion. And in verse 35, we see Paul's heart in all of this that he's sharing. So let's look there now. Paul says, I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. So Paul is not looking here to restrict single people or legislate his preference for them, nor does Paul want people to begrudgingly stay single out of a burdensome obligation to serve God. Rather, as Paul says in verse 35, "I'm saying this for your own good," he says. Paul wants his fellow single Christians to join him in seeing that their relationship with Jesus is what matters the most. With less distractions and hindrances, single followers of Jesus are freer to seek a deep relationship with him, a deeper relationship with the one who has a beauty and a glory that is beyond what we can even begin to conceive, and a deeper relationship with the one who wants to give you more hope and faith and meaning and growth and love in your life, and the one who can redeem even the unique challenges that his single followers face, and the one who, before calling you to devotion, showed his complete devotion to you on the cross, dying for you, giving it all for you on the cross. And so, despite the real challenges that come with being single, for Paul, avoiding the concerns and distractions that married people face was worth it to be freer, to know Jesus deeply and to please him with undivided devotion. Whatever your or my marital status today or in the future, you know, we're all invited to invest in this kingdom, in this community, and in devotion pleasing to Lord Jesus. And so that's the next step for all of us this morning, whatever your marital status. It's to take advantage of our opportunities to invest in what's going to last. Being single, it has unique challenges. It includes those. And so may we all together support our single brothers and sisters in those challenges. And being single also provides opportunities to invest in the kingdom outliving this world, and in the community outliving this world, and in devotion that is pleasing to Lord Jesus himself. The time is short, as the passage said. And Jesus, that means he's already provided forgiveness for our sins. Jesus has already defeated death in resurrection power. And he is already preparing to bring the fullness of his kingdom when he returns. And so in light of all that, we must not respond as if nothing has happened. And so I am thankful for the many single people in our church family who are investing in what's going to last. What you give is so important as you live in the way of Paul and in the way of our single Savior. What you do and who you are, it matters. You know, every time you single brothers and sisters minister to a child or a teen here in our church family or in our community, it matters. Every time you share about Jesus's love, matters. Every bag of food you pack here matters. Every time you pray for people, it matters. Every time you serve here with your technical or administrative gifts, matters. Every time you speak edifying words on social media as Jesus's follower, matters. Every time you reach out and ease someone else's loneliness, it matters. Every outreach and missions effort you're involved in, your involvement matters. Every time you serve others through your work, that matters. Every time you help someone with an addiction, matters. Every time you give financially, matters. Every time you say no to sexual temptation, matters. You seek God in his word and prayer, it matters. Every time you bring someone a meal who's recovering from surgery, matters. Every time you study or work with Christ-like integrity, it matters. Every time you lead out in worship, it matters. Every time you disciple or mentor or serve as a spiritual father or mother to someone, it matters. Every time you show hospitality to your brothers and sisters here, love them in relationship, that matters. Every time you sit down with a lonely teen in the lunchroom, that matters. Every time you or a family member, when you're helping a family member in need, that matters. Every time you seek justice for and serve the vulnerable, it matters. Every time you trust Jesus with your unmet longings, it matters. Every Bible study, ESL, and citizenship class that you teach, it matters. It all matters. And as you cultivate and exercise your spiritual gifts and everything else that God has placed in you, in all kinds of ways, in service to his kingdom, it all matters. Thank you. Now, Rochelle Meyer, who I mentioned earlier, married Jonathan there a few years ago. But because of her experience serving Jesus as a single woman, both the challenges and the blessings of that, as we close out this morning, I've invited her to come up and pray, especially for all of our single brothers and sisters here. So thank you for ministering through prayer, Rochelle.
Let us pray. Father God, thank you that we can come to you today. God, thank you that we can lift up our single brothers and sisters to you today. Lord, you know all the things that they face, all the challenges, the pressures from media, the pressures from family, from friends, from entertainment to be a certain way, and pressure that they are only complete if they are married, if they're in a relationship with a significant other. God, I pray that you would be with each one of them today, Lord, that you would help them see that their completeness is in you. And Lord, the desires that they have, the desires for intimacy, for the desires to be close to someone, God, I pray that you will meet with them in that. And Lord, we pray that they would take these opportunities that they live in now, Lord, to serve you, to walk with you, to spend time with you, God, and know that they can bring all their cares, all these desires, they can bring them and lay them at your feet and know, God, that you will take care, you will carry them, you will strengthen them. Lord, our desire is not that they will miss out on anything because they are longing for that partner, that they wait. And Lord, that they miss out on all the things that you've already prepared for them, that you have set before them. And Lord, we know that your timing is perfect. When you bring someone into their life, if that is your will and that is your desire for them, God, your timing is perfect, but that you will relieve them of that that pressure and that that burning that they have, Lord, that you would carry them and fill them with your love, with your desire to walk in your ways. And Lord, we pray that that you would give each one of them wisdom, Lord, in what they listen to, what they who they are in contact with, God, that the movies that they watch, Lord, all the things that can stir up those sexual desires and desires to be with another partner. And Lord, we pray for those that that have fallen into a sexual sin, and Lord, that they've slipped in keeping themselves pure for you. Lord, we pray that they will not walk in condemnation and in judgment, but that they can come before you with open hearts and repent, Lord, and know that you will meet them, God, and that it is a new beginning. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. Lord, we pray that each of the singles in the church and those that are listening and watching online, Lord, that they would discover what their giftings are, the things that you have placed within them to be a blessing and to be a part of the extension of your kingdom, wherever they are, wherever you have called them and you've placed them, Lord, that they will grow in those giftings, that they will experience a fullness of life in you and not the feeling of that they're missing out, that they've lost out, that they are not enough or they are not good enough. Lord, we thank you that they are good enough. They are complete in you. And Lord, we pray that a blessing over each one of them, that they would hear your voice and that they will step through the doors that you have opened before them and be all that you have called them to be. We pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed.